I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. How you all doing? I'm Stuart Roy, within, sitting opposite me as ever.
Glass and William Christopher.
Ah, oh, look at that.
Reporting for duty. I'm clever and I can say my name backwards.
Yeah. How long have you been practicing that for, press record?
All last night. Well, he's like, can we do something? I was like, shut it. Got to get this right. I didn't say that and I hope she didn't hear me.
We all do that, don't we? Sometimes when you're out and about and you're moaning about your missus and then you just think, let me just check my phone just in case I've accidentally rung her. Listen, first of all, if this is your first time listening to Hardcore Listing, welcome. And let us tell you a little bit about what this podcast is about. It's Christopher and I and sometimes guests. We've got a guest today, which we will introduce shortly. And then what happens there is the guest will pick a top five subject. And then myself, Chris and the guest, sometimes no guest, will then count down the top five within that topic. One of the other things that helps this podcast grow, aside from you bloody lovely lot, is our sponsors. So, Chris, should we have a quick word from the sponsors?
Let's run it from the top.
Right, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Moto Recall.
Yes, it's one of those lifestyle utility apps that every phone should have.
It's got the practical, the nostalgia, and the dream. From 18 to 118, there is something for you. It's what you make it.
Day-to-day reminders of tax and MOT on your cars you've in your current garage. I, for one, sometimes been driving around in my car not being MOT because I forgot. So it's a bit of a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I mean, never buy a second-hand car without knowing the history. You know, provenance. Moto Recall makes sure you aren't caught out by allowing you to perform a full provenance check on the vehicle. With just the car reg, is there outstanding finance? Has it been in an accident? Is the mileage legit? You'll get the full picture, powered by experience, with a data guarantee.
I wish I'd had that in the past. And with this app as well, you can build your historic garage with photos and data that you can not only look back on for yourself, but you can share it with your mates. You know, every car is a memory. You used to have that Cat in the Hat car. I'd love to have seen that.
I mean, if you don't have an historic garage, like, build out your dream garage. You know, what has caught your eye? What are you dreaming of owning?
And the best bit is free. Up to 50 cars and provenance checks are pay as you go when you need them. Experian aren't as nice as the Moto Recall team, of course.
Download the app for free. Search Moto Recall in your app store. MOTORECALL. Moto Recall in your app store. Hello, this is Chaz from Love Beer. And I'm here to tell you about why I sponsor Hardcore Listing and what love-beer.co.uk does. I am a fully certified by the British Beer and Pubs Association for bar installation with a focus on home and office bars. I have loads of home bar clients who have really enjoyed the service during lockdown, as well as corporate office clients like Facebook and HelloFresh. I offer a complete solution from installing the bar equipment right the way through to keg supply. I also offer regular maintenance packages for those who want a bar without all the hassle.
Hello, this is Charles, also from Love Beer. I just want to also let you know I'm fully licensed to sell kegs. We can supply loads of different products from mainstream beers and ciders right through to trendy craft beers and even Prosecco kegs. all delivered to your bar by a certified technician.
Also, why I'm here, have I mentioned the Land Rover Beeries 3, which is a 45-year-old XMOD Land Rover Series 3 that we have done a complete restoration on during lockdown?
The 3 Beeries 3 is a custom-built high-performance bar hidden in the back of a Land Rover. The bar we have installed is capable of doing upwards of 500 pints per hour. We're about 4 to 5 weeks off having it all back together and ready to show it off. And I'll be launching an Instagram for it this week.
Nice one, Charles.
Nice one. Hello, I want to take a moment to shout out one of our wicked sponsors, Eggfried.com. They are a streetwear brand. They produce t-shirts, sweats, hoodies, handmade denims. It's all inspired by hip-hop, punk, choir fashion. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, head over to Eggfried.com and have a look on the website, because it's not just the design, it's the layout, it's the website. You know, the creative team over there are absolutely on point. There's just some great stuff there. And not just for adults as well. They've got Small Fried, which is their range of kids' clothes. And if you want your kid to just look beyond cool, like, head over and check that out. And they've given us a discount code, right, Chris?
Yes, Egg Salad. If you type Egg Salad into the discount coupon section, you'll get yourself a tidy little discount. And when they send out the stuff, it is packaged exquisitely. You get little goodies in there, stickers, and it's all wrapped up beautifully. So check out eggfried.com.
Okay, lastly, we want to thank, and certainly not leastly, we want to thank. Is leastly a word?
No, it's really not.
Right, we're going with it. We're going with it. So we want to thank Luke Van Boom. Luke Van Boom has a company called Bang Boom Creative. Luke is a long-time sponsor of this show and a friend of this show. If you see the pictures of Chris and I on the socials advertising this podcast, them happy snaps were taken by the genius that is Luke Van Boom. I mean, that's just the tip of what he does. Chris, do you want to explain a little bit more about what Bang Boom Creative does?
Yes, it's all about fresh, innovative production. So they're all about content with a heart and soul, making films of all kinds, shooting dynamic photographs and putting smiles on faces. They're passionate storytellers working with a diverse range of brands of all sizes. You know, their work includes short film, viral video, animation, hidden camera stunts, product demos, live action, 360 imaging and music promo. And they've worked with a ton of companies as well. Universal, BBC Children in Need, even the Mayor of London, Katie Piper, the NHS, the Dogs Trust. They've worked with a lot of companies.
It consistently blows my mind, you know, the stuff that you've just said there. Why does he have anything to do with us plums?
Stop talking him out of it.
Right.
There we have it. There's our sponsors. This week, we are very lucky to have one of our previous guests on who, well, I say lucky. Last time he came on, I felt very rough the next day. Not as rough as Stuart and the guest, because they drank quite a lot, if I recall correctly. So this week we have Leon Rowland. Welcome, mate.
Hello, you're all talking about middle names. I haven't got to do mine, surely.
Oh, you definitely do. And this, I should say, was a Rodney Trotter moment.
At my wedding.
At his wedding. So we're all sitting there. And then, go on.
I thought this was a setup because you said your middle names. I thought, oh, they're doing this on purpose.
No.
No, not at all.
My name's Leon Bernard de Horn Rowland.
Are you serious?
Oh, without a doubt. And they say it Leon. 5 times when you get married. You should see my Leon. Wedding video. Everyone just laughs.
That's incredible.
Leon Bernard de Horn Rowland.
Yeah.
Yep. When you say, are you saying de Horn?
D-E Horn, H-O-R-N. The Horn.
But it now hyphen. Sounds like The Horn.
Yeah.
It sounds like your porn name. Yeah, like you got. Yeah. Sounds like you got drunk and then.
Porn name's Billy Forrest, but yeah. But yeah, last time I was on, I got very. I actually got vertigo for 6 months after that night.
Vertigo.
I couldn't stand up properly for 6 months after that night of drinking of the 90s drinks.
Did you have a tumble on the way home, or was it just the booze?
No. I didn't have a tumble. It was just the alcohol that I had 6 months. I had vertigo for.
What, like just wandering around and losing your balance?
Just couldn't stand up every now and again. It was like it got so bad at one point. I got sent home from work, but it was all due to that night.
Don't drink MD 2020, kids.
Or Blue Nun.
Blue Nun.
MD2020 did on retrospect taste like melted plastic.
Yeah.
I just wonder how many other of our guests have been signed off after coming onto our podcast.
I don't even remember the second one we did. I think it was something about aftershaves, I think, or magazines. I can't quite remember.
I can't remember.
I think it was aftershaves.
Yeah. So today is just a cup of tea.
We've got a little brew.
Well, it's 10 a.m.
It is 10 a.m.
You're not setting any records there for good behaviour.
Yeah,
at 10 a.m.
I think if we were drinking hooch and baby sham at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning, we probably need to go and speak to someone after this recording. Leon, today's top five. What are you going for?
Well, I'm very honoured to be doing this top five. To be fair, it's Star Wars films from Star Wars to Jedi. So 4 to 6.
Yeah, it's not 1 to 3, but it's always 1 to 3 in my head.
Can I just show you something as well? It's very visual, but I'll explain to what it is. Obviously, I'm a Vivid fan as well, as you both know.
Yes.
But I only listen when I go to sleep. So I bought what I listen
That's
to.
That's a backhanded insult.
I use it to go to sleep. And this is what I wear. So it's got two speakers in it, which is there, and it's Bluetoothed from my phone. So I put it on at night and just click it in, and then I listen to you two while I go to sleep.
This is a face bed
mask for people that are listening.
That's incredible.
The Patreons will be watching this as well, so they will get to see it. There you go.
Yeah.
You press that little button there, the Chinese lady goes, Bluetooth controlling, and then it connects to my phone, and I get to listen to about 20 minutes of you before I go to sleep.
Before you came.
That's amazing,
man. Like, I actually might get one of them.
It's good. You've got a little blue and red light on there, so your missus thinks you're like RoboCop.
Have you had sex with it on? Because that's the ultimate.
So it's Star Wars, the top five Star Wars moments, Star Wars, Empire, Jedi.
Perfect.
Incredible. Great choice. Mm. I wrote some, obviously it's not my top five, but I wrote a few down and I was welling up. Molly's like, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, I can't explain to you, babe, because you'll lose that last thread of respect you had for me.
It's one of those things that my sort of age, and obviously Stu's sort of age, is obviously we were brought up from that era. Mm. Apparently, my dad took me to see it 5 times in a week when it first came out. I was only three, so I can't remember it. So he might have elaborated the truth slightly there a little bit. But
I was taken to Leicester Square to see it by my parents.
Really?
Like, weren't the premiere, but I was taken to London to see it, and then I was taken... I sound like such a spoiled little prick. I wasn't. And then after that, they took me to Hamleys, probably the only time I've ever been in Hamleys, not that I can remember it, and they bought me Luke Skywalker and R2-D2.
Amazing.
Wow. Mm. That's something. That
Star Wars, though, just goes throughout my whole life. Mm. Everything, I mean, from when I was little to going down to see my nan in Southend, and in the BP garage on the right hand side, they had a full version of the X-Wing fighter in there. You could sit in it. Yeah, it was from the film prop. They just had it. It wasn't in the BP garage. It was next door to the BP garage. And then, as well, my dad coming round. I used to live in a little dodgy estate in Purfleet, and my dad just turning up one night out of the blue with a VHS of Return of the Jedi.
Oh, man.
And, like, this was pre when it was before the cinema.
Revenge of the Jedi.
Revenge of the Jedi. Yeah, and it's like, my God.
Yeah.
I was like...
Was it a good copy, or was it absolutely awful?
Oh, no, it was absolutely awful, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
I remember that pirate copy of Jedi was being passed around. My mate Sid, his dad Colin, had it. I never got to see it. And I remember just thinking, I was so desperate to see it. And I remember like knocking for him and like literally trying to look through the door, and I could see like the speeder bike scene, and I was just thinking, fucking hell!
Which was recorded in Ozzy Osbourne's Forest, apparently.
Where?
In Ozzy Osbourne's Forest.
Oh, really?
Yes, that was recorded.
Leon, you've already cracked out some facts today, mate. I tell you, like, I can't believe I didn't know that there was an X-Wing parked up somewhere along the... What was it, the A-127?
Old A-13, yeah.
Well, wow.
What we should say... is me and Chris have spoke about trying to get him on, and I've spoken to him, but at the end of this road is a man called Kenny Atherfold. And I grew up, as I've mentioned before, playing with the Flash Gordon toys and the Flash Gordon weapons that we used in the film and stuff. But he was the key grip for Star Wars, Empire and Jedi. And you can go online and buy like signed photographs of Kenny like in Tunisia. Like,
isn't he the one in the pink shorts?
I'm not sure. They're black and white photos.
Okay.
May well be. but I mean, aside from all the other films that he's worked on, which is everything. The fact there's a bloke at the end of my road that filmed Star Wars, like, and he wasn't credited initially because none of the British cast, the British crew were credited in the initial release. When they remastered them in the mid-90s and reissued them at the cinema, all of the cast were then credited and Ken's on there. But yeah, I've, every time I go jogging, I see him. I'm like, "You're gonna come and do the podcast?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah, let's make it happen." I just think,
talking of things as a childhood, this would be a good time for me to give you a birthday present.
Oh, okay. Aww. I'm very excited.
So this is for you.
Okay.
It's in dinosaur wrapping paper, but
incredible.
Yeah, this is So this is a late birthday present for you.
Amazing.
Look at this. Look at this.
Yeah. So I hope you're gonna enjoy it and.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, so look, this is for our patrons who've got the video can actually see Shu live unwrapping this.
Yes, it's dinosaur wrapping paper. I couldn't get
that's quality wrapping paper.
So it's a picture frame.
Oh.
And here we go.
Here we go. Unveiling.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mate.
What is it?
It's my dad.
It's the Medi droid, isn't it?
Yeah. 2-1-B medical droid.
Signed by the...
Signed by 2-1-B medical droid.
Oh, that's incredible, Leon.
The backstory of this, that you probably don't know, Chris, is me and Cunt, very early on when we met, my relationship with Mark and Kenny meant that I got a little bit carried away with the truth and told him that me and Mark were Jawas and my dad was 2-1-B medical droid. To the point where when Cunt released his book, and obviously if you want to read it on the trainer, you don't want to have the word cunt on the book. He done a bonus rap, which is called My Life as 2-1-B Medical Droid by Steve Whiffen. And it's just got this cover of 2-1-B Medical Droid on it. So my whole relationship with Cunt is based on my elaborate lie. And now I've got a signed picture.
By the person who made it.
That's fucking amazing. Oh, thank you so much. That's so cool.
Do you love it?
Oh, it's amazing.
I knew he'd love
it. That's great, mate. Yeah. That's such a cool thing.
I cannot wait to show
Cunt. And the Whiffen's all Star Wars stuff now, isn't it? I've heard. Like He's put away the keg.
Yeah.
And he's got all Star Wars toys up there. So, yeah. Very apt.
My wife, Lando Calrissian, Skiff and Leia arrived yesterday in a little jiffy bag. I was so fucking excited, and like disappointedly, she just poked her head around the door and just went, "Got more toys?"
Yeah, I've been through that phase.
Toys.
I sold all my Star Wars toys. I had everything, absolutely everything. My auntie used to live in America, and she used to send me stuff across, and I sold it all for 25 quid at a boot sale in Averley when I was about 14. Biggest mistake of my life. And then about 5 years ago, I started to reinvest and start buying them the toys again, the figures, the original figures, and probably one or two a week, and I had the same situation. I had to stop in the end. I am going to continue.
Yeah, of course.
Because I've got a few more to get, but yeah.
It's so addictive. I can't not spend at least 15, 20 minutes a day on eBay.
Have you seen Riker's collection? Jeez, I saw him posting pictures. Like, oh, I forgot I've got these. And he's got all the super rare ones now. He's managed to collect them. And he's due back on because we're going to do a sort of critique of the Star Wars films because obviously as they progressed, they got like for
Princess
Ryan,
Leia,
they
like
got,
Mary Poppins.
They got more like frustrating, and I'm really looking forward to that. So if you like this episode, go and check out. Eventually when we put that one out with Ryan or Riker, so that'll be really cool. Shall we start?
Yeah,
shall
do
we
it.
A couple?
Number
Let's
five, mate.
Okay.
There's a little bit of There's a little bit of. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. So is anyone's phone near a microphone or anything like that? I think that was Leon's just then.
So I moved it now.
Listen to Stu. He grassed you right up, didn't he? Fucking hell! You wouldn't want to start a drugs business with Stu. That was it.
Did we get accused of that once? At the
Civic.
Yeah, got accused of selling drugs. Yeah, that's well funny.
Yeah,
we didn't. okay, so shall I go my number five?
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, my number five is... the opening crawl scene to the first movie.
Oh, great.
So, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then it just went boom, and then those yellow letters coming up. I've got them written down here, I'm not going to read them out. But, just that initial. I mean, obviously, when I was younger, I couldn't read, so it didn't really have much effect. It wasn't until later on in life that you start to actually read what they say.
Yeah.
And I think that's that first bit is crucial to each and every film. I don't think they did it in Rogue One, which is fine because I thought Rogue One was really, really good.
I thought it was amazing.
But I never got that sense of feeling with all the other films.
Yeah.
But only with the first three. Then I think in 2019 they re-released Empire Strikes Back in the cinema. Is it 40 years or something like that? I think it was. And I took my little boy to see it. And oh my god, that first bit in a cinema, it just, I mean, I think I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it. So that would be my number five.
We spoke about this last week.
We done
top five noises.
Oh right, okay.
And I said the opening stab of orchestration after the silence of a long time ago in a galaxy far away is just the most goosebumps.
Yeah, there you go.
He's like the you know, I don't even think it, maybe more so for people of a generation that caught it first time around. I don't know. Just the nostalgia is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But as I said to you last week, Chris, even like when they reissued them in the 90s, all I was bothered about was being able to experience that moment in a cinema again.
Yeah.
And it's just sonically perfect.
And then seeing those films again in the cinema, which you can now do, it's and with all the other bits as well, with the Dolby surround and all that in it as well. It's just that first that first scene of the very first, the full film.
Yeah.
Gotta work it out.
It is amazing. I even remember when they launched Phantom Menace and I was so excited. I remember even that I was pumped up for it and I was like, oh right, great, this is amazing.
Until
Jar Jar came out. But going back to that very first one and then when they re-released them, would you have kept in the Jabba Hutt new scene?
I was about to mention that.
No.
I get it. But to me that's a great example of just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
There was a scene there that they didn't release. I only saw it the other day, actually. It's when Luke is with a Rancor monster downstairs and in the whatever it is, the cave, whatever it is.
Yeah,
and there's another bit where he actually flies up and grabs on to the. Have you not seen this?
No.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. He flies, he jumps up and grabs onto the cage, and then Jabba and all that are trying to. Well, obviously, Jabba's not stamping on his fingers because he's got no feet, but there's people stamping on him to get him down into the back in again.
Wow.
They cut that bit out, but it's good.
Just for a little heads up there, try and buy a Rancor on eBay. They hold their value, mate.
Really?
Oh, mate. An original one, you're looking at close to 100 notes.
£100?
Mm.
Yeah.
They reissued one again a little while ago, but they still go for like sort of £40, and it's
I tell you what, Stu, like, you guys talking about toys, that's not an expensive hobby compared to fucking being a nerd with buying little plastic men, Warhammer men. It's so expensive. It is, like, I'm not even kidding you. Like the tanks in there were like 150 quid. 150 quid for a bit of resin. And yeah, my girlfriend's like, have you finished that army yet? And I'm
depends
like,
depends what
yeah.
sort of resin.
Yeah. It depends on sort of resin. Yeah, I've been burning it down and
selling it in apes.
It's the same. That's the same stuff that they use in swimming pools, isn't it? That you throw down to the bottom and you swim down and you
that's
pick it.
It
up.
Yeah.
Ali G style. Yeah, it's so expensive. And, you know, I hear about that and I think, I wish I had that hobby now because it'd be fucking cheaper. But yeah, nice. Good shout, mate. Okay. Good shout.
Well, I don't want to throw any in yet, Chris, just because I've got a feeling it could quite easily cross over.
Like, and I'm going to steal Leon's thunder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Number four, mate.
Number four is from Jedi,
mm-hmm.
and it's when the Emperor goes to the Death Star. That scene.
Ooh.
The scene when it's just flooded with stormtroopers and guards.
Imperial
guards and Vader's waiting for him. And it's just, I know when Vader turns up at Death Star's a good one, but when the Emperor turns up, you're like, yeah, mate, this is on.
Yeah.
It's like the music and the size of it, just you can see how big that part of the Death Star landing bay was.
And the dark side looks so much fucking cooler as well.
Absolutely. I remember when there was a computer game, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, came out, and I kind of found out what my allegiance was by that point. Because I would play, I was always jumping in a TIE Fighter thinking, the Empire's just got so much more structure to it.
Yeah.
Not realising that I was at 14 years old, I was turning into a fascist. Intergalactic fascist.
Intergalactic fascist. What a great name for a band.
I got their second album.
They've just got that whole aesthetic so crisp. Like, you know, someone should tell the bloody rebels to fucking jet wash their X-Wings.
Absolutely. If you was a 14-year-old kid and it's like, right, what do you fancy here, lads? Jar Jar Binks or Darth Maul?
No brainer.
You'd probably get a pension with the Empire. Plus, if things get serious, you've got a Death Star.
You definitely would have got furlough.
Definitely.
Without a doubt. You definitely would have got.
What'd you get as a rebel? Literally fucking.
No,
like,
it's like being self-employed.
Yeah, definitely.
They would have been all self-employed. They would have got nothing in the pandemic.
Taxman would have been all over the Rebel Alliance.
Zero-hour contract.
Even the little black thing that goes around a Death Star going, he got 80%.
I'm telling you, Han and Chewie cash in hand all day long.
Fucking hell.
It is. I mean, and I think just obviously hearing about the Emperor and stuff, and then when you finally see him, and you actually can feel the tension from the rest of the dark side in anticipation of him arriving as well. He's fucking great.
Yeah.
And then when he does, and he just gets out of the ship and just walks down, it's like, oh man. Yeah. I thought Darth Vader was the most evil thing on the planet. But no, you can upgrade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Significantly. I think that's like the benefit of properly planning your story arcs. Mm. Because, you know, you get a sniff of the Emperor in Empire Strikes Back. I think, don't Vader, you catch Vader chatting to someone, don't you?
When
he's
helmet
off.
Yeah.
So you realise there's levels to it, and that gives you that whole sort of feeling of like, you know, there's something greater. So by the third episode, you're like, oh my God, like, who this is, you're finally getting to see the big reveal. And I think they sort of fucked that up a bit in the most recent three, didn't they, with like their bad guys. Like they started building up Snoke and it all went a bit pear-shaped, really. And then they had to call the Emperor back to sort of have that impact. Yeah, it was wicked. Him arriving and all that in his special shuttle.
Yeah.
Just looks so fucking wicked.
Plus also, as a figure, you could only get him if you collected some other figures and you had to send off to get the Emperor.
And when that had arrived, that weren't the only one.
I had him, but
there's a couple
must have got
lucky. Was Rancor Keeper one? Or was...
No, it wasn't. There was the geezer with the red that drives the Millennium Falcon with... Apollo.
I know. Fish face.
Sort of fish. Yeah,
but near Num.
That's it. Yeah, him. Yeah, he was a send off.
Because Stu, he's like, yeah, I know his name.
Yeah. Near Num.
What is it called?
That's why somebody go to the dentist, isn't it?
Near Num.
Is that near Num yet?
Yeah.
No, it's almost getting there, love.
But that was, because they would arrive in like a little box. It wouldn't come in like a figure with a back card. Right, yeah. It'd be like a little square box. A
cellophane
and you'd forget about it. You'd be going to school one morning and like, and you obviously, when I was kids, like, we didn't get letters, did we? And it was just like, there's a box, it's got my name on it, and you open it, and when, like, and you ain't got to pay for it, and you pull out a Star Wars figure. Yeah. Fuck me, that was living, mate.
Oh, my Lord. And that's how you got... That's so cool that you... Like, it wasn't available. You had to...
No, you had to cut...
I mean, it's a bit commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good commercial, that. You feel like there's a reward. And did you get him for free? Did you have to, like...
No, you know, you get it for... You cut out... It's like, you know, collecting the beans on the coffee cups at McDonald's. You get five and get one for free.
I think that's a great way, like, to get the Emperor. Like, you got to collect some of his, like, minions first.
Yeah.
Build up your sort of, like, toy army. And then, fucking wicked.
Number three.
The first number three is the first Death Star battle.
Oh, so good!
That's my number three, and it's just it just brings a film. We think obviously it brings a film to a head, but there's just so many classic bits in that scene from when they leave the planet. Just from there onwards, it's just action packed the whole way through. And I'd never seen anything like that. I don't know if I saw did the Black Hole come out before that?
Black Hole come out. After Star Wars, Disney's response, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I don't think there was anything that I'd seen spacey. That I remember there was one movie once about this guy. I can't remember what it's called, but he lived in space with a load of robots that done they'd like big plantation in space. It was based in the '70s, and they were like gardeners in space. Do you remember this?
No, I've never seen gardeners in space.
I don't think that's what it's called. But that was the only spacey film I remember. So seeing that scene. And obviously,
Percy Frow with a lightsaber, I'm all over it.
But everything about it, just from the start to, no spoilers alert, but obviously it gets destroyed.
Mm.
We think it gets destroyed.
Stay on target.
But you know, you're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home. You know, it's just
that's it. There's so much to talk about, Leon. It's like, firstly, the idea of the Death Star is like, it was big thinking back then. What are you going to have? We're going to have a spaceship. Wicked. How big is it? A planet? Oh, that's big. I mean, it's hard to get your head around quite how... Yeah. It's hard to get your head around how big that means that is. I mean, it is what? Is it the size of a moon, isn't it, roughly?
Yeah,
it's not like the size of Earth, but it's big.
Yeah, it's massive. But
and, like, you feel treachery. It's treacherous. Like, flying into the fucking trench and that, you really feel like... And people are getting whacked left, right and centre, aren't they? Like, there's loads of people blowing up and dying.
Just that bit, like, Red 5 standing by. It's just... Yeah. There's so much stuff in it that you just... Even if you go back and watch it now, you're like, oh yeah, I didn't see that bit. Yeah. And this is like 40, whatever many years on. And when he gets rid of his navigator and he's got Ben telling him what to do, and it's like,
yeah,
and he gets him in, he gets this like, go on, son.
Yeah.
Go on.
Let's not overlook
I'm getting goosebumps.
Just how fucking pivotal R2-D2 is in that scene as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Just knowing that R2's in the X-Wing with him as well. It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. It's just all so good.
R2 takes a shot, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Take a shot to the dome. You're all like, ah. Oh. But look how, like, as well, like, if you look at... I don't mean to keep pissing on, the prequel, when you have that space battle, which is really good, like, Anakin's in it.
Yeah.
But it's like...
Is that where he falls out?
Yeah, it's so much going on in those space battles. Yeah, if you look at that, like now looking back, look at those fights. It still feels action packed, but it's not as chaotic. Like there's fewer things happening, but how they're building the suspense of the guys dying as Vader's slowly shooting them out of the fucking trench, it feels more like Jeopardy, doesn't it? You're like, oh fuck! And then obviously Han Solo coming and like, it's choking me up, man, thinking about it.
Also, they also really used to go down to South End and there'd be the Star Wars game you could play where you could sit in the arcade machine and then actually go into that trench and, you know, you can buy them. They're a good few hundred quid. You could have you can have them. But
it was just lines, though, wasn't it?
It was just lines, yeah. That's
but
all
it was the most
music,
exciting thing ever,
it was like, it was... Seriously, I keep getting goosebumps talking about this. I've not had goosebumps like this since Elton John come out with George Michael in... Ladies and gentlemen, Elton John, there you go. But yes, you can actually play that game as well. And I just think then it blows up. And I know in the remasters one, they made the explosion slightly bigger.
Yeah.
But it's just that when you...
Like,
mate.
Yeah.
It's like, there you go. And then when you see Jedi and you go back to watch Star Wars, you just try and see if you see half of it splashing off the other way.
Yeah.
Because obviously, there's half of it left. You think, oh, where did that go?
What's your favourite at M3?
Empire.
Chris?
I'm controversial. I'm Jedi.
I'm Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
I will bawl. I will cry my... I'll talk to you later. I'll say one of mine, but I fucking will cry my eyes out to it. I really will. Like, for me, like, Star Wars is the first and last when it comes to trilogies for me. Like, there are great other trilogies out there, great ones, but not that come up with touch Star Wars, I don't think. I don't watch them that regularly. I really don't now.
Maybe that's one of your podcasts is top... Well, maybe you've done it. I don't know. Top five films where the second one was better than the first one.
Oosh. I don't know if we might have done, Leon. It's so long ago. Me and Shu are talking about trying to catalogue all our episodes, and we're like, fuck me, there's
something. I don't think we've done that.
Because there's not many. I think Empire's better than Star Wars.
But... I agree Empire's better. The original, it's weird, because Empire's better, but the original is the original.
Some people really like Temple of Doom, don't they?
I do. I don't think it's
Godfather
better than
Raiders,
2. But Godfather 2. Aliens, Terminator 2.
Rocky 2 is my favourite Rocky film.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favourite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Police Academy 2.
Police Academy 2.
I mean, that needs some discussion.
Anyway, another podcast maybe.
Exactly.
So that was my number three.
That's a fucking tremendous number three.
Yeah. Number two.
Number two is from Empire again. And it's when Han Solo gets frozen in kryptonite.
Yes, it's one of mine.
Is it? Oh my God. I mean, obviously, the trap was set for Luke, but that's all right. Let's get Boba Fett involved here. And you didn't realise how this was going to play. And like, oh, man, so good. So good. You're thinking, he's done now. He's gone. Han's gone. That's it. He's off. And just to be that I love you bit and all
that's
that.
It.
And,
yeah. That's mean, it. That, for me, that line is the killer. And like, if that doesn't make him... Obviously, the coolest human, the coolest person ever.
And his outfit there with his little white bit in there, his blue stretch with a pinstripe down it. Like, oh, I want to be dressed like that.
I mean, Han Solo, Harrison Ford, was one of the most handsome men ever.
But
right?
He was really famous by Empire. Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't so famous in.
No.
They took a lot.
They cast Kurt Russell first, didn't they?
Yeah, and then he wasn't really even going to be available for Jedi, but they couldn't think of a way of killing him off.
Because he'd done Raiders by then.
So they couldn't. And I mean, I think about this the other day, and I was thinking, well, they could have killed him off. They could have just not took him out of carbonite and just left him in there.
Was that the plan then to whack him?
The plan was because he'd done Raiders,
they couldn't afford him
for Jedi.
Oh,
so right. Yeah. So that was that. But
that would have been
different film.
A tragedy. Yeah. A fucking straight tragedy that would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have, especially to kill someone off screen is just like it's the worst way to go. They did it in Aliens when they like when Alien 3 comes along. It's only was Ripley. Everyone else has gone. It's like hold on, you created some incredible characters there, like Newt and Hicks and Bishop, and you've just they're gone.
Yeah,
it felt like you've been blueballed, and that would have been terrible if they did that with Han Solo. But that when she says I love you and you know kisses her and he just says I know, it's just like his whole story from
when he got to Cloud City. I mean, you can think he was tortured. He was, you know, all those needles going in him, and you know, it's like, oh man, this boy's gone through enough, and now they're gonna, is carbonite a thing? I tried to Google it. I don't know, is that such a thing, or is it a made up word? I'm not sure.
I think it's a made-up word.
Is it a made-up word?
I think it's a made-up word, yeah. I don't think... I mean, like... I know that, you know, Demolition Man, when they freeze him in that, I know that's actual technology. But
I watched that the other week. Oh, my God, that film has not stood the test of time.
Do you know what, mate?
Get a parking ticket for swearing.
The Three Shells, Leo, I watched it about... I watched it 10 years ago, and it hadn't stood the test of time 10 years ago.
Oh, my God.
You know, obviously Wesley Snipes in that was incredible, and it was great at its time. But I don't feel I watched a YouTube thing saying it had stood the test of time the other day. And
I watched Sleeper the other day. That was better than that. Yeah. Do you remember Sleeper with Woody Allen? That was set in the future.
No.
And they had the thing called the Orgasmatron.
Now I'm interested.
You've seen Sleeper, Chris? You must
I don't
have.
Think I have. I don't think I have.
Oh, okay. Well, he wakes up in the future, and all the vegetables are bigger, and dogs are electric, and you've not seen this.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. You need to watch Sleeper.
Oh, I love Woody Allen as well.
No, Woody Allen.
Oh.
Woody Allen.
Oh.
Totally different person.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I mean, just I have put together a little five for this as well. And in my top five was I Love You, I Know. Like, because it gets used as well. Like, Leah uses it, doesn't she, mm-hmm. in Jedi when they're trying to get into the thing to deactivate the force field, don't they? And she just says, like, I love you. No, he says, I love you, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then she says, oh, no. It's just like, oh, it's fucking brilliant.
But yeah, seeing being frozen in carbonite and then being taken off to Slave One.
Oh.
And just to think, why is that spaceship flying like that?
Yeah. Like, is that the first time you see Boba Fett as well?
No.
He's at the start. He's in Empire, isn't he?
Yeah. He walks with him, doesn't he?
He walks with him, yeah. Or is that Jedi I'm thinking of now? Where they're in the Star Destroyer and they're all the bounty hunters are stood in.
No, it's the Empire. That's because Vader hires them, doesn't
that's
he?
It,
to,
yeah.
To, yeah mm-hmm. And like that's it. And you've got the big lizard one there.
That's it, yeah.
And, but it's mad if you think about how popular Boba Fett is, like for such a small role. But
yeah.
I think a lot of it is just down to character design. He just looks so badass that everyone was just like him. He's my new favourite. But he was my favourite. Like out of the toys as well. Out of the toys, Boba Fett.
I've got the original. Obviously, I started collecting the original figures, and the first one I bought again was Boba Fett.
Yeah, that whole collection that I've got there started because cunt went, they've just reissued this, and he bought me Boba Fett. And I was like, oh my God, I need to go and buy more.
Have you guys obviously watched The Mandalorian? I haven't seen season two yet, I'm saying.
Oh my God.
There's the assassin robot, isn't there? The robot that should have... That's one of the ones standing on the bridge in Empire Strikes Back.
Look
at modern technology. That was incredible what they did with him.
This was one of those moments you talk about The Mandalorian where my 5-year-old daughter was well into it with me because of Grogu, because of the baby Yoda. I'm not going to spoil this for you, Chris, but the end of season two, she was crying for a reason and I was crying for a reason.
I can't wait. I can't wait then.
And it's just, I mean, there's loads of stuff coming out now. I mean, literally down the road, they've been filming Rogue Squadron in Corinham. They've been filming down in the docks for Rogue Squadron, the new X-Wing thing.
Hope they leave another X-Wing down
there. Maybe. But I've been filming down there and they've got the Bad Bunch. That's quite good. I've been watching that.
Yeah, I've not watched that.
I've seen
it's
that
cartoon, but it's quite good.
One of the things about that scene as well is when you do see all the bounty hunters as well and you see, like, cause Dengar looks so cool. Like, who are they? Bosch, IT-88, Boba Fett.
Is there that weird, what's the one that looks like a flyer? It's got big bulbous.
He had a big gun.
Yeah, and he had the body of like C-3PO, but it was grey.
IT-88, I think.
Oh, is that AT? Okay.
A droid.
No, it's not a droid. It's like a fly head.
But so they get Han Solo and bang him in the carbonite.
Mate, it's gutting. And again, like they built it so well, like you. He's such an epic character to do that. You really feel the loss of it, don't you? In the drama, it's fucking brilliant, man.
And when you, I mean, spoiler alert, when you get the actual loss, like of Solo, in the latter films, fucking like, Force Awakens, like when that moment happened, I was like, it wasn't even that. It was when Chewie cries, like when Chewie like roars.
Someone stood on your toe, and
I was like, no, fucking Han's dead. Like, But, oh, yeah. I mean, but it's all part of the fairy tale, isn't it? It's like, you know that there'll be redemption. You know that it'll come good. And, like, and it's just fucking brilliant.
I don't know how he ended up the way he was, his pose. Because when his pose was obviously his hands are up like this and he's doing that, I would have been more like, like curled up with a ball sort of thing. doing something like with rock hands or jazz hands or something like that.
Yeah.
But then again, with the figures, you know, that come out, hand come out with that figure. Yeah. I used to put hand in it and fill it up with water and put it in my freezer.
Yeah.
And like,
that's brilliant, Leon.
And then bring it out to play and like start Jedi. And as I'm getting to that point, he'd been melted and be laying there. And yeah. So, yeah. Oh.
That's incredible. That's some good gameplay in there, mate. Yeah. The geezer's name was, that robot was Four. He was a robot, Stu. You
were Forlom.
Forlom, that's it.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh, no, good shout, mate. Good shout. Cool. That was number three, wasn't it?
Two.
Well,
top
no,
spot.
That was three.
Two.
No, it was
two.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I had the crawling scene.
Yeah.
Beginning. Then I had the. Death Star was one. Then I had.
I love you. I know. No.
That was the Han Solo. And then, no, so I've had opening titles. Emperor arrives. First Death
Star. Emperor arrives. Yeah. Big pump. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, number one.
What's your big one?
It's from Empire again, and I think it's probably everybody's number one. I think everyone's nodding here. It's like, it's I'm your father.
Yeah.
I don't think there. It was like, what?
Yeah.
What? And your head starts going. Hold on.
Yeah.
I mean, you're his dad?
Yeah.
How does that work? Sort of like a thing. And I think things start to get into place. And obviously, the big battle leading up to that as well, the lightsaber scene, losing his hand, and just all of that. It just, everything links up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that scene. I remember being, I actually do remember going to the cinema and watching this and with my dad.
Oh, what?
And it was like, my dad was like, what? And I'm like, what? And everyone went, what?
The whole thing about Empire is mad, is it? Because there's no real conclusion. Like, you find out about that.
Yeah.
Hands frozen in carbonite, but there's no closure in that film, there? Yeah,
no, yeah. He's just standing looking at the space in his lovely little jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
Holding his incested sister's hand. That's when it all starts getting weird. That's an honourable mention.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
Oh,
I mean,
so fucking funny.
I mean, let's be lads here and regress back to those teenage years. Princess Leia, mate. Different level.
Yeah.
She was the triple threat. She was just such a charismatic.
No, princess.
She didn't take any shit, did she? You know, on screen or off screen, Carrie Fisher was quite a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah,
and
she was lovely. She was lovely, it was lovely that she was in the other films as well.
So good,
and that her daughter was also in the. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, you know, that's not a daughter, Carrie Fisher's daughter, who's quite a big part of the last three films.
No.
There's a young girl in there that works with her quite a lot. She's one of the technicians in the background, but she has a few scenes with her. That's her daughter.
Oh, how wicked is that?
I'll show you in a little while. Yeah, so I'll show you. She's got quite a big part in the last film, actually. She's got quite a few speaking words. And I think there might be a cuddle between them as well.
Man.
Yeah. Didn't know that.
Yeah, I'll find it in a minute for you. But so that, just going back to it, sorry, I'm your father.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, man, it's brilliant.
Do you want to know something? I just say no, and then we're...
He's not your father as well, is he?
No, he's my father. He's my father. He was quite promiscuous. Because I was so young, so although Star Wars...
He's got a shiny helmet.
We'll talk about shiny helmets in the Patreon episode. So my childhood was dominated by Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I was born in 1980. So when did Empire come out? So
79.
Was that Empire?
Empire was 79 because it's 40th year in 2015. Yeah, 2019. Yeah.
So I literally came out like. So although my childhood was dominated, it shows how long the Star Wars trilogy was being successful for. because that was it. That was science fiction start and finish for me. You know, for many years, Star Wars was the be all and end all of it, and still is really in terms of concepts and excitement. And yeah, I didn't see like the whole plot reveal that we're talking about, which is the fundamental one, the biggest reveals in any film ever. I was so young that probably by the time I could understand that as being a plot reveal, I just inherently knew that Vader was Luke's father. I was gutted. I really wish that I'd have been like of an age, like in my teens, you know, where I could have seen that and really felt the impact
that
it must have had for so many people. Because for me, I didn't have it.
No.
But it's weird because we talked about the Death Star battle. I forgot to say this, Leon. Like, first up, we've done this before, films that made you cry. One of the first times I cried that my family can remember is when Han knocks Vader into a spin cycle. And I just started bawling my eyes out. I was like, I don't know how, I was like four.
Yeah.
Crying my eyes out because my favourite character as a baby was Vader. So I'm definitely a fascist.
Yeah, he's your favourite character.
And when he stopped spinning, I stopped crying. And like everyone's that's like, deep, yeah, that, that's that.
Have you spoke to anyone about that?
Maybe have a little chat with a therapist about that, mate.
Yeah. It's something
But I never caught the father thing. I'm so gutted. I'd love to have seen that plot twist. I really would. I really would have seen that bit.
Well, Chris, should we rattle a couple off like quickly? We've got sort of 15 minutes before we try and wrap this one up. So I've got a couple that I'll touch on. I love that scene where you see Han in the cantina just slumped in the chair, just looking like a badass.
Greedo.
And like, Jabba, why didn't you call? And it's like, shot first. Tell Jabba, and it's when you see him just take the safety off his gun under the table, and then, oh, fucking brilliant, that scene. Greedo, what an incredible character as well. I love that.
But in the same bar scene as well, when Obi-Wan chops off what's-his-face's arm.
He doesn't like you.
He
doesn't
like you.
Warrus man's arm.
I don't like you either. Like, all right, mate, get on.
Death sentence. Yeah.
It's like, where's the doorman?
So, yeah, where's the doorman?
And then he just has his arm off. When I saw that and I was like, well under 10, like, I don't know how young I was, as I say, 4 or whatever. He has his arm off. That scared the shit out of me for a decade.
It's like a Viz character.
It was as much as it was Warrus Man, everyone just called him Bumface, didn't they?
Bumface,
I want to just touch a couple.
Bumface poo.
That first scene where Luke's got the binoculars and then he's looking for sand people and then all of a sudden he drops it and he's like, right there.
I read a fan theory yesterday about the sand people, and apparently someone said, in Phantom Menace, the reason why the sand people were shooting at the pod racing was to kill Anakin, because they'd come from the future, from the past. No, they've come from the future, gone back in time to kill him before he gets the opportunity to grow up and goes and kills him because they nicked his mother.
Wow.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, there you go.
Some of the facts that you've mentioned.
They really fucked that up. They had the technology to go back through time, right? And then the time they decided to kill Anakin while he was in one of the fastest vehicles on the planet. Why not run up on him when he's asleep?
Yeah.
Well,
I thought it was good theory.
Sorry.
I've been to Tatooine. So when I went to Tunisia, there was an excursion.
It's a long way away from where
we are. It's a long way away. And it's the Sahara. Mm-hmm. And it's right on the cusp of the Sahara. Mm. And you go there, and the people that live there look like Jawas. They're obviously not small, but they wear the cloaks.
Giant Jawas.
Giant Jawas. And and then basically, where Luke lived, where you can go down, the people that live there, that's what they live in, stuff like that. So you get to go down, it's just rugs on the floor. It's fucking mad. I went there when I was about 22 and it was pretty spectacular. But I think we've probably seen the same documentary on Disney Channel which talks about the whole three films, which is fucking incredible. But there's a scene in there where they talk about that scene where Luke drops the binoculars and the sand person's there with the thing. And they show it happening, they show it being filmed. And Luke falling back onto this sort of crash mat. But then they were talking about they could only film for in sort of bursts of 20-30 minutes because it was so hot.
Right.
And they're in costume And like, you see the sound person like take his like mask off and like, obviously just sweating in all of these cloaks and rags and stuff. And then what was funny was, I mean, it's not funny, but it kind of is. They were saying they'd be like, right, and cut. And everyone would just like run off to like get water and take their stuff off. And then you'd kind of hear like,
I don't know what you're going to say.
And everyone had just forgotten about Kenny in R2 that was just boiling in this fucking tin can.
There's a, have you seen on Disney, is it Biomass? Biomass. It's called no. Biomass.
I haven't seen that, no.
Okay, so I didn't know what it was. It's Star Wars. It's on the Star Wars channel. I thought, what is this? I didn't talk about Tatooine. Basically, it's like they've got a drone. And it's just flying through different scenes. So it starts off. Have you seen?
Oh, amazing!
Have you seen? Kind of Starsky? No, what's it called? There's a film in the '70s where it just flies through cities and towns. And this is what it does, but it's doing with Star Wars scenes. So there's one of Tatooine. So you'll be flying above it, and you'll see a battle going on below you. There's one on Hoth. There's one on Endor. And that's you're just incredible. You just got a bird's eye view of it. It's all animated. It's all animated like. Visual effects, but it's
like
amazing.
CGI.
Yeah, but you're just like a bird flying through everything.
Oh man, that's a Disney Channel.
Yeah, Biomass or something. It's called.
I'll check that out. Mm.
They've also done the one where you can go around the ships, like the vehicles.
On the Disney Channel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right. But it's Biomass, yeah. So as I was saying, you can go to Tatooine and you can look and it'll just fly above that bit there and you'll go over to where the Jawas are and you'll see, on the horizon, you'll see a little, what's it, a big thing, Jawas, got the robots, what's it called?
The sand crawler.
Yeah.
So you'll see something on the horizon. As you get closer, this thing just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
And just a couple of quick ones as well. Just the AT-AT scene. With the snow speeders going between the legs and stuff like that. It's just unreal. Yeah. Like when I first saw that at the beginning of Empire. That blew my mind. Seeing an AT-AT was just ridiculous. But my favourite scene is the Sarlacc pit scene in Jedi.
Oh, incredible.
When he walks out the plank and you just can feel that the music starts to build the tension and R2 just undoes his little pair of pants and gets his little sabre out ready to...
Is that the first time you see the green lightsaber?
I think it is.
Yeah.
And then the minute. Oh, so good.
Yeah,
and then the minute he jumps.
I said like Roger Moore then.
And there you did. Quintessentially like David Niven. And then bounces back off and does the flip. And then the Star Wars music kicks in. And like.
Oh, that whole scene, especially like when Han's still blind almost. Yeah. And you go, Boba Fett. Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Like, and he turns around and like. Ah!
So good. And like the characters like.
Lando and Chewie trying to get out of the Sarlacc pit is
so good.
It's funny, but because I think they do that so well. They do the Lucas was really nailing like comedy with serious moments. And I mean, Empire Strikes Back is that throughout. I think it's like it's really dark. But so one of my favourite things throughout Empire is the fact that the Millennium Falcon won't jump to light speed. Like every time they need it to do it, it just fucking doesn't happen. Yeah. And he's like kicking, like having a go at Chewie. And Chewie's like, I've fucking done it. I fixed it. I think that's so good. Yeah.
That sandpit scene, can we just have a little bit of a, as you call it, an honourable mention for Carrie Fisher's outfit?
Oh, I mean, the fact that she takes out Jabba. Then,
dressed like that.
Then there's just like being a badass. There's nothing wrong with talking about the Princess Leia gold bikini because it's very well entrenched in pop culture or movie culture that, you know, that changed a lot of young men's lives, certainly mine. and oh my God. And it's just the characters as well that are on the, what's the ship called that he jumps off of?
Scarif.
Yeah.
Scarif or Skiff.
Yeah. And then you've got like Klaatu on there and Weequay and like all of them characters. And obviously like Boba Fett. It's just fucking awesome. And like.
And they have to pull the droids out of the sand.
It's little magnets. Thing, yeah. It's like, we're on our way. Yes. Fucking Lando's here. Like. Yeah. Oh, incredible. What other ones you got, Glasson?
I like in the first one where Obi-Wan and Vader face off. Like, I love the fact that, like, Vader, like, Obi-Wan's on the Death Star. Vader gets a vibe. And it's all like you're starting to understand what's happening with the Force. And, like, then, like...
He don't put up a fight that much, though, does he?
No, but just... I love the... I like how he sort of, like, as he walks around the corner, Vader's just... You can hear that his lightsaber's already on.
Yeah.
And he walks around and Vader's just standing there, like, I'm waiting for you. And then what... He doesn't put up a huge fight. He just distracts him, doesn't he? And, like, Vader's such a non... Like, this horrible threat. And then Obi-Wan's just such a cool dude. He's like, yeah, if you kill me now...
I prefer the Family Guy version of that scene.
I haven't seen that.
Have you not seen it when... you know, you've obviously seen Family Guy. So Stewie is Darth Vader. And the old man paedophile is Obi-Wan Kenobi. And as Stewie comes around the corner with the lightsaber... the old man paedophile is like flops off, like, and then Chris, who plays Luke, runs around the corner, and then his lightsaber goes like that. So yeah, you've not seen the Family Guy Star Wars episode?
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You got Disney.
Man.
Yeah.
Family Guy. Find the Star Wars episodes 1, 2, and 3. Enjoy
right,
yourself. Thank me later.
I didn't know Family Guy was on Disney.
Yeah, it's on Star.
I didn't know that. That's mad.
See, I couldn't understand why Ben just kind of done the whole "if you strike me down," like, you know, because I just thought, ah, what? And it's like, in hindsight, looking back at the saber battles, I'd swap that for angry Luke just smashing the granny out of his dad, like, all day long. When he gets all angry and just starts chopping him down, like, that's when I'll just get. I'm more involved in that than Ben using.
Yeah, like, definitely. To be fair, like, in the what was it called? The thingy of the... What is it where
Force
they
Awakens?
Form Anakin? No. Anakin turns to Vader.
Revenge of the Sith.
That one where, when he turns and then him and Obi-Wan have that fight.
Well, he does that bit where he's got no legs and arms. It's like a scene out of Monty Python, the Holy Grail.
Yeah, that's
Come on, let's have a go.
The choreography in that is fucking something else, though. That is like, that was really good. I've got to give him credit for that. But yeah, I mean, like, well, that comes on to probably just about near where my favourite scene is, I guess you... is just after Luke goes absolutely ham on Vader, cuts off his arm, didn't he, and all that. And then the Emperor's like, yeah, well done. Kill him. You can become my apprentice and all that. And then Luke's like, no. Emperor fucking zaps the shit out of him. And then, like, the thing that always wells me up is watching Vader watch those two. And because obviously, what's brilliant about Vader is you've never been able to see his facial expressions. And most of the time when he's looking at people, you're thinking... he's thinking something really nasty.
Yeah.
Credit to the score, because it's the music that creates that.
Yeah. That just shows he's got good in him as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. That's all part of it, isn't it? There's always them saying that there's still good in your father.
But I can't understand why he couldn't save him. I still think he should have been able to save him.
Yeah. You know?
Well, this comes on to my favourite bit as well, Leon. So my favourite bit is this scene, right? It's right at the end when Vader's picked up the Emperor, chucked him down the well, and Vader's like done for. And, you know, they're all winning. He's got to get him off the thing. And it's like, you know, Anakin's now been redeemed. He's dying in Luke's arms. And Anakin says, Luke, help me take this mask off. Luke says, but you'll die. Vader says, or Anakin says, nothing can stop that now. Just for once, let me look on you with my own eyes.
Is he reading this? He doesn't know the top of his head. It's like,
no, really.
I thought, wow.
So Luke removes Vader's mask to reveal Anakin's disfigured face. Mm. And he says, now go, my son, leave me. And Luke says, no, you're coming with me. I won't leave you here. I want to save you. And this is the bit that always gets me. He said, Anakin says, you already have, Luke. You were right. You were right about me. Tell your sister you were right. And then he dies. And I just think that's so cute. It's so nice that he sort of like says, you've already saved me. You've done it. You've done the thing that, you know, you've rescued my soul. And I just think that's so cool.
What was he right about?
That there was good in me.
Oh, okay.
Basically. And I just think that's really not, like, you know, because Luke throughout it didn't want to sort of like just give up on his dad. That's a big part of it. Is like his dad is this intergalactic fascist who's a child killer. And Luke doesn't give up on that part of him. And it's great. I think it's a beautiful part. And when I watch that, I'm just fucking always in tears. It really gets me. Yeah. So yeah, that's my favourite bit.
I agree. It is a really powerful scene, but it's the thing I can't get past when that front of that mask comes off is the fact that He just looks like a ball bag with eyes.
It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.